Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, are you well informed? Maybe you're misinformed. And how do you know the difference? How aware are you of your information and your discretion? Let's find out what that means in today's society. Who is speaking from where? And how do we know the difference? And what can we say about it? What kind of society are we in now where maybe most people will think that what we're talking about is misinformation, disinformation, and they know better. And maybe they do, but maybe they don't. And so we're going to find out about, we're going to analyze this, we're going to discuss this. So I put together a group of wonderful people who are willing to be in discussion about this. And I'm so excited. Two of them have been on the show a number of times. And then we have a new guest who I'm excited to have met, and I'm glad he's here. So first, I'll tell you who the people are who have been on the show before. Alexander Dunlop, who is our card master, and we've done certainly more than a dozen shows together. And so I'm so glad to have him here for this discussion. And also Hope Fitzgerald, who's been on the show, and she's the developer of the Infinity Wave. And how powerful it is, and has regular meditations, and has wonderful downloads that she is very happy with. And our new guest is has a name that I've been learning to pronounce, Stylianosis.
Stylianosis, close.
Stylianosis, okay. And you're out on the West Coast. You have your own webcast, and you you do a lot of exciting things that and Alexander knows you and introduced us to you because he felt that you would bring a lot to this discussion.
Thanks, Alexander.
All right. So let's start talking about mass formation. Earlier I was talking about, misinformation, but what is mass formation? Can anybody relate to that?
Well, I certainly can after listening to that brilliant interview.
Let's say what interview you listened to, because that's really what inspired this whole show. Is a man named Matthias Desmet, who's from Belgium, and we all listened to an interview with him, and he was brilliant, and that's what inspired us.
Yeah, good, because hopefully people can hear it for themselves if they just look up his name. What was so intriguing to me about his conversation and the way that he's thought this out, and the fact that he's an expert on mass formation, and yet it took him a good deal of time, almost a year, to figure out what was going on, and that this is a huge scheme of what he calls mass formation, which is another word for mass hypnosis. And there are several qualifying aspects that make it turn what we've been in through into a mass formation. And I'm not sure I'm going to remember every single one accurately, but just the general concept that we have been steadily and surely led down a path using our emotions, mostly fear, to corral us into certain states where we will be willing to accept certain narratives. And so I'll stop at that and let other people talk, but that's sort of the general overview of this huge hypnotic state that many, many people are in and don't know it.
Well, that's the point, is that the mass hypnosis is that when you're hypnotized, you're a subject of suggestion in ways that you can't use your own discernment.
Right.
Right. Well, and go ahead, Russell.
No, you go. Well, I'm just saying, I just feel like it's when your individual consciousness, the crowd mind, just absorbs it and melds with it, and you're no longer an individual in a sense, and you just take part in the group, and it's hard to critically think in that state as well. But you can go, Alexander.
Yeah, and the idea being that mass formation happens because of a certain set of preconditions, and so it's important to make a distinction between that this is not a conspiracy theory. It's not like a top down, like there are an evil cabal who are controlling us, although there may be people who have evil motives and have profiteering motives. The idea is that the preconditions are set within the human psyche, that all of us feeling a generalized anxiety that we don't know what it is, and some generalized aggression that we don't know what to do with that. And we feel disconnected and, you know, don't have a meaningful life, meaningful job. So in that social atomization, in that disconnected state, along comes a narrative that binds us together. And it feels good. We're like, woohoo, we're all part of this together. And
well, that's important.
Social bond, and it creates social, a sense of meaning and right. A sense of shared participation. So we cling on to it. And so, this is the analysis that was provided in that video. I'm not sure if I'm going to say his name correctly, Matthias Desmet. Anyway, brilliant man. And, that there are these preconditions in the human psyche, and we need that sense of belonging and we need that sense of meaning, and we'll get it at any price, apparently.
Let's call it a clinging.
Yeah.
And it's very tribal. And I want to look at that, the whole idea of tribal mentality. Because tribes don't think like the collective thinks. We think of collective as what's good for everyone, but tribes, they only are looking out for themselves, and they know that they're okay if they kill off the other tribes. And so that's why this tribal mentality can be so brutal against people who don't agree with them. And I want to talk more about that, but I want to put some perspective on this, that, and this is from the Mayans and the Mayan calendar, that we're in a time now of change that the Mayans predicted 1,000 years ago. And they saw that we've come to the last 360 years of what they call day. And we're in the next 360 years of what's called night. So what that means is that in day, it's much more on the surface. Everything is more left brain. There's more a need for power and control, and it's much more unequal. And so that's why the last 360 years have now destroyed themselves as becoming a. That we're more aware of the greed and corruption that comes from that kind of inequality. And now we're going into night, but to get there, we have to go through this time of chaos. And so this anxiety and anger, all this kind of stuff that people have been building up to for decades now, and especially through the way the media behaves and our controlling forces are behaving, have brought the public to a place of chaos. You don't know who you are in this world or how to behave in a world that doesn't make sense, because it's we're coming out of that time where what made sense didn't work, and have created this disruption, and so now we have to come into a place. A new place of inner knowing, of where they call night, because it's inside of us that we find the truth, not on the outside. But people are still seeking the truth on the outside through authorities that are trying to control them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because just last night, I, once a month, at the beginning of the month, I do an overview from multiple astrologers. I'm not an astrologer, but I am interested in the themes, and that we need to remember that we're a part of a much bigger story, you know, like the Mayans would probably agree, you know, we're involved with the heavens. And one of the things that was said by one of the astrologers in this compilation that I put together was that we've really been dominated by Saturn in 2021, which is that external governance, that external force that we listen to, that man in the white coat kind of thing. But as we end this year, we are going to be switching into much more rebelliousness, much more inner dominance, inner voice directing ourselves. So it's kind of goes along with what you're saying, Peter, just even in the more immediate astrology influences.
Yeah, everything fits into the picture that we're in now. Yeah. And but the question is, what do we do each in our own way to support change? And many of us feel totally frustrated because even people who we love and care for are not speaking the same language that we speak. Yeah. And what do we do? You know, it's and that's why I'm so happy to have the show and to speak up, at least in the truth that I understand and you and our audience, I think, is the people that are attracted to the show are people who really want to think for themselves and understand things in more authentic ways.
Yeah, I think what we do, Peter, is what you've done by bringing us together to talk about this. And, you know, Erasmus and I have been friends for a long time, but we haven't necessarily been talking, and like we haven't seen each other face to face. And I've found that for several people who I know who I've kind of lost touch with or just didn't make the effort to connect with, and finding that I really feel the need to connect with people who are looking forward and willing to challenge the accepted dogmas, willing to listen to the inner voice, inner intuition that says, something isn't right about all this. This just doesn't feel right. And finding people like that to maybe I need it. I mean, maybe as a human being, that's a need that I feel, to feel that connection and camaraderie. But it is kind of forcing me, making me want to reach out and build these connections.
Well, yeah. And Dr. Desmet is also a statistician as well as a psychologist. And he talked about the percentages of the population that are open-minded or are hypnotized, et cetera. And it was very interesting that the numbers that he came up with, because he said that about 30% of the population are actually fully hypnotized. And that's better than I thought.
or worse, that there are about 60% who just go along with it, even though they know better.
That's the point. Well, it's 40, he said 40 to 50% are people who cooperate. And it's not like that, because he says that when you're hypnotized, you're much more willing to allow suffering of those who don't agree with you, because it's tribal. So in this hypnosis, you're impervious to pain, because that's how hypnosis works. If you ever hypnotized anybody, I did when I was young, and you can stick pins in them, and they don't feel it. You know, you could create pain and they don't feel it. And then, and it's amazing how our minds can be controlled that way. And so much of the population is creating pain in others in ways that, you know, are beyond the beyond, because our society has been destroyed by the suffering that the lockdowns and these mandates have created. And people seem to be immune to it. You know, it's like they don't understand the pain that is being created. And that's hypnosis. So, and then the people who need to cooperate, you know, are in denial. They might feel like they're unhappy about what's going on, but they're not willing to say anything or do anything about it, and out of fear. And then there are those of us who are willing to stick our necks out and, you know, I heard a nurse recently who was very anti-mandates and all that. And she said, this is a hill I'm willing to die on.
And I've said that many times.
Yeah, we are definitely in that place of inner authority that, you know, we believe that we need to save the world in the way we see it, you know.
Or at least stand up for the constitution of this nation. The individual sovereignty is the basis of this civil society. At least that.
Right. And that's true. And that's why there have been these wars and soldiers willing to die for what they believe in, even if, like, the Vietnam War was wrong. People were willing to die for it. And we're in this place now where at least we believe in what we see and know ourselves, and are willing to sacrifice ourselves for it if need be. I'm one of those, and I know you all are, who are not willing to compromise.
What do you think is the reason why? You know, here we are, there's four of us here, and obviously there's many more. What is it about us, you know, where we're willing to entertain these different ideas and to be more open? You know, I think when it comes down to it, a person who has done a certain level of inner work, like truly inner work, integration work, shadow work, is standing on two legs. I just think they're more likely to see between the lines, as opposed to someone, like you mentioned earlier, is looking externally for everything. I mean, our education system is built to create obedient humans. You know, public education is built to just listen to authority, raise your hand. You can't do anything without asking. And so you have to decondition. You have to unlearn and relearn. And how many people have gone through this unlearning and relearning process?
Yes, in medical schools in recent years have taught doctors not to think for themselves. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, 40, 50 years ago, doctors were trained to be discerning. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, we can see that in a lot of ways in our society. But what is it about us and others who are like us that why we do work on ourselves, why we do go within and seek answers? Why? Why am I different and you're different from people who don't want to see anything?
I think it's, I've asked the same question, and because I'm sure you've all had the experience of finding people who you thought you knew, mm-hmm. people who you thought were sovereign type folks and have done a lot of work and have done a lot of inner exploration. And yet there they go walking down the path, and it's like a head scratch. What, why don't they see? And I think, Dr. Desmet really spoke to what I've come up with, and is what Dr. Desmet spoke to was this generalized anxiety levels. So people who have done spiritual work can still be very anxious people. And the anxiety that was pre-existing, as you said, Alexander, was a perfect setup for then the great dial-up of anxiety with the announcement of this horrible virus that would kill millions of people. And so I think people who were already primed just fell into a big pot of anxiety that they, as you said, Peter, they'll do anything to get out of.
Right. But let's look at this in terms of who are our personalities versus who are our souls. Because as Alexander knows, you know, there are only 52 cards in the deck. And so there are many people of every card that might not be open-minded, even though we would expect it. And so it might be that they're holding cards that have potential, but their souls aren't ready for them. And maybe, you know, a lot of people, that's their learning curve in life, is to tackle life through their personality templates, and yet their souls are still in an early stage of development versus some of us who might be from other planets or whatever, millions of lives.
Yeah, I also think too, when we think about inner work, because that could be thrown around, but what's the state of your nervous system? Do you have a level of resilience to hold space for this fear that's being propagandized on everyone? So, you know, there are people that go, oh, I've done this and I've gone to this workshop, and yet you can just sense in their being that they're not standing on solid ground. So I think even that whole thing of spiritual work and inner work, like there's so many people that fall within that. And then on top of it, I find that a lot of people that are in the helping professions or people that have gone down more of these spiritual paths, they've also been conditioned on this collectivistic ideology, you know, on like, it's all for the greater good. So when you have the media 24/7 telling you like, well, you have to do this for grandma and you have to do this for your fellow man, that if you've been conditioned in this more collectivistic ideology, it's easy to succumb to that.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Well, it is. And I, you know, coming out of my Christian background, I see what's going on now is what might be called Pascal's wager, where in medieval times, people who didn't believe in God would go to church and believe in God anyway, just in case, you know, take that wager, because if I'm wrong, I'm going to hell. But if I can say this correctly, if I'm wrong and I play along, then I'll find out that everything works out fine for me. So it's better to just play along and cooperate.
Yeah. And Erasmus earlier was talking about this experiment where people were set up to walk into a room with other people who already knew the game, and they would all lie about something. And then this new person who walked in was asked to figure out what's true, but would be influenced by all these liars and would just go along with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of our society is just are people who just don't want to run against the grain.
There was actually a modern version of that experiment that happened. You can Google it. I'll send it to you all after, where a woman walked into a doctor's office. I think they did it with multiple people, and the people were sitting on different chairs. And then a horn would go off and all the actors would just stand up in the middle of a doctor's office waiting room.
Right. And then on the third beat,
he got up as well. And it's like, wow, that quickly.
Yeah. You don't want to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's safety in the herd. There's safety in numbers. Exactly. And we evolved as a herd animal.
Right.
Yep.
So
it's deep in the reptilian brainstem.
Yeah, our subconscious is always scanning the environment for what's the safest thing. And so obviously, like you said, Alexander, in the past, if we left our tribe when we were hunter-gatherers, like we could get eaten by some animal. So we had to stay close. So right. that evolutionary imprint stays with us. Mm-hmm. So now what's safety? Oh, everyone has to go and take part in this new medicine, you know?
Yeah.
Like you have to.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, back to your question, Peter, now that we've had this, continue this conversation as to what makes us different. Maybe it has to do with having tasted true freedom. Because when we understand the freedom of our souls, then nothing is going to.
But where do you collect those experiences that you know that?
Yeah.
I can only speak for myself, but I'm guessing everybody on this call has tasted true freedom.
Right, but we don't know where and how, and it could be from many lifetimes. It could be.
Oh, yeah, it could be. But if we've had the experience, then we're not going to be as susceptible.
I think that's right. And I think it's the first time that we were willing to step away from the herd, where the herd could have been our family, our religion, our schooling. The first time we stepped away from that inculcating, encapsulating ideology, whatever it was, the first time we stepped away and we actually survived and we didn't get squashed, we're like, oh, wait a minute, that wasn't so bad. But it might have been bad. I mean, certainly it has been challenging for me to step away from my own family indoctrination. And as a coach, I see that all the time. It's pretty classic psychology.
So there's so much more.
Step away, to your point, Hope, and realizing that we can actually be free. It's actually safe.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, obviously.
And we got more shows to do, Peter.
Yeah, we're going to collect ourselves together again very shortly and continue this conversation, because I think we're exploring very important ideas. So I want to thank you. So let's just quickly to end the show. Just can you each give people ways to connect with you? Alexander?
Sure. Lifeelevated.life. And we're soon to be launching thesourcecards.com. My name is Alexander Dunlop. Thanks, Peter.
Sure. And Hope?
Hope Fitzgerald is the name. The website is we-infinity.com. That's we-infinity.com.
Oh, good. Thanks, Hope. And Erasmus?
Erasmus Stylianensis. I'm in the process of redoing my main website, but we're about to launch our podcast website. It's called www.hereforthetruth.com. You can find us on Instagram at Here for the Truth Podcast. I post a lot on Instagram. That's where I've been posting for years. At underscore Erasmus. It's my new page. My old page got shadow banned. So, you know.
Too much truth.
I have a question. Is it H-E-A-R or H-E-R?
No, it's H-E-R. Like, we're here for the truth. Just like this conversation. We're here to have a dialogue. We're here for it. I don't say I have it, but I'm here for it.
But it's kind of a double entendre.
Yes. I've had multiple people ask me that for that reason.
Good.
There it is on your mug right there.
There you go.
Well, I know. But this is an audio show for most people.
Oh, got it.
So, all right. This is Peter Roth, the host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org. And love to hear from you. And thank you all so much for being here. And we'll see you again. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, it was really nice to be here.
And I thank everybody for listening. Okay, bye.